Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is forming new state task forces to address AI, childhood obesity, human trafficking, and chronic student absenteeism. We've made it to Friday, it's September 8th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, a Republican state lawmaker says legislators can't know if UW-Madison is following a U.S. Supreme Court ruling banning affirmative action in admissions. Plus, lawmakers are advancing a Republican-backed proposal to cut income taxes for more than a million Wisconsinites. Sarah Lear will have more on who this could impact. Stay with us.
Being up to date on the news matters to you. That's where Wisconsin Today comes in. These 10 minutes of the biggest stories from around the state, they're possible thanks to community support. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
AI, childhood obesity, human trafficking, and chronic student absenteeism all will be the focus of new state task forces. Corrine Hess reports the legislature hopes to have their work complete this year.
Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss announced the bipartisan task forces, saying these are the issues people want most addressed. Each task force will have a Republican chair and Democratic vice chair. But Democrat Chris Larson, who is the minority leader on the Senate Education Committee, says previous similar efforts focused on wide-ranging educational issues have failed.
I'm not sure they're worth the paper they're printed on or the time that people are putting forward to construct possible legislation and possible solutions to what's going on within the system.
State Superintendent Jill Underley says Voss has not reached out to DPI about the new task forces. She says DPI is also focused on these issues. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican Assemblyman Dave Murphy says he can't know whether UW-Madison is following a new ban on affirmative action in admissions because the school won't say how it picks students. The comments came during a hearing on a GOP bill guaranteeing admission to state colleges for students in the top 5% of their high school class. Murphy and Republican colleagues pointed to redacted admissions documents and said UW-Madison isn't being transparent. Murphy grew angry after UW-Madison Government Affairs Director Crystal Potts said the school doesn't want to provide an advantage to lawmakers' constituents about their admissions process.
That is the most ridiculous answer I have ever heard. You're talking about advantaging legislators by letting them know what this criteria is about? We are the committee that has oversight over your agency.
Potts says UW-Madison has offered to let Murphy and a state senator look at the unredacted copies in person. Lawmakers are advancing a Republican-backed proposal to cut income taxes for more than a million Wisconsinites. But as Sarah Lear reports, Democratic Governor Tony Evers says he'll stop that bill from becoming law.
The proposal set for an assembly vote on Tuesday would expand retirement exemptions and reduce income taxes by nearly 1% for individuals making roughly between $27,000 and $300,000 a year. Democratic Governor Tony Evers promises to veto the bill, saying it would hurt Wisconsin's ability to invest in programs like public education and childcare. But Republican Ways and Means Chair John Mocco says the nearly $3 billion in cuts over 2 years would bring relief to Wisconsin's middle class.
100% of this money is going to folks that need it the most.
Legislators need a two-thirds majority in both houses to override a veto. To do that, Republicans in the Assembly would need to get enough Democrats on their side. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Water temperatures climbed on Lake Superior and Lake Michigan as many areas of the region tied or broke heat records over Labor Day weekend, but still, they remain below record levels. Lake Superior was cooler than normal for much of the summer. Data from the Great Lakes Environmental Research Lab shows temperatures peaked last month on the lake at around 64 degrees, but then fell again. Water temperatures had also been below average on Lake Michigan since the first week of August. Jennifer Day is a spokesperson with the lab. Over Labor Day weekend, waters on Lake Michigan warmed up to around 68 or 69 degrees. She says that's average for this time of year.
And I'm sure that that creep just in the last few days, moving up 2 or 3 degrees, is because of the hot temperatures that we've been having.
Temperatures peaked at around 72 degrees on Lake Michigan this summer. construction for a historic effort to divert Lake Michigan water to the city of Waukesha is now complete. Evan Casey has more on the Great Water Alliance.
The project will bring around 6 million gallons of water a day from Milwaukee to Waukesha. The city decided it switched from groundwater to lake water after its wells were found to have radium contamination. The governors from 8 states had to approve the move, making Waukesha the first community that doesn't share a border with a great lake to receive water from one under the Great Lakes Compact. The $286 million plan included building 36 miles of new pipelines. Waukesha Mayor Sean Riley spoke at a groundbreaking ceremony. He said safe and reliable drinking water is essential for the city.
Today, we are near the end of the journey. Lake Michigan water will soon be flowing to Waukesha's homes, schools, and businesses.
The city will officially make the switch to Lake Michigan water sometime in the coming days. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we've got today's episode of Wisconsin Life, where a man will share the stories behind his many tattoos. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with an excerpt from the new podcast, Humanity Unlocked, which is focusing on people impacted by the justice system in Wisconsin.
Tattoos can tell the story of a person's life. They feature aesthetic beauty, inside jokes, or family memories. Some of Daniel Schleicher's tattoos memorialize his favorite people. His story comes to us from the Odyssey Beyond Bars project, which provides classes for students incarcerated in Wisconsin.
I'm a little nervous, I ain't gonna lie to y'all. So bear with me. All right, so my story's called Penguins, Bears, and Tattoos, Oh My. When I was a kid, I looked up to Kenny. I wished he was my dad. He wasn't. Kenny was, in fact, my two older sisters' dad. I remember him coming over to our house to pick up my sisters for his weekend to have them. I never understood why I couldn't go with them. It was clear I was a likable kid, how he played basketball with me while waiting for them to get ready, which felt like forever. Yet it was probably just minutes. In those moments of shooting hoops, I would even pretend he was my dad, but Kenny wasn't my dad. He wasn't my stepdad. He was, however, a father figure, and I honor him today in calling him my bonus dad. I only wish I could have told him this, for those moments spent with him meant a lot to me. You see, Kenny passed away in 1994, and what he doesn't know is he played such an important part of my life and had a role in my love for tattoos. He had several himself, and the only one I remember was a tattoo of a penguin on his hand. So to a boy looking up to this man, I just thought this was what men do, is get tattoos. I got my first tattoo at the age of 13 in a friend's garage. It was a nickname friends called me back then, and it was difficult to hide from my mother. And now that I'm older, several tattoos later, it's still getting difficult to hide them from my mother. I never had a scheme to my madness of tattoos other than if I wanted something somewhere, I got it. I'm tattooed literally head to toe. I can't say I have a favorite. I have some I want to cover and many more I want to get. I do, however, have some that got me through some dark times with just a glance, like my children's names on my fingers that I see every moment of the day. There's my mother's name on my arm, as she's been the strength and my unconditional love. I have my granddaughter's handprint over my heart because she's a piece of my heart in human form. And I have my last name, Schleicher, which is Kenny's last name, that I carry on for him. I also have a rose tattoo for him with Rest in Peace Kenneth and the day he passed. And yet my mind comes back to that penguin tattoo. That tattoo created a love for penguins that runs so deep. I customized my own penguin stuffed animals for my kids and granddaughter when I was in Columbia Correctional Institute. I used to work for the Incel Teddy Bear Project, and that's where I had the opportunity to do so. I've drawn cards and pictures of penguins for them. And when I did beadwork, I made those tiny penguins that fit on the tops of pens, and their little arms would flop all upside down with each pen stroke. That's not where my love stops. I had penguins looked up to discover that they only mate once in their lifetime, and on an occasion, if the mate dies, they will move on. The male even goes as far to find a pebble or a rock, like a diamond, that he kicks around until he presents it to the female. If that is not a true love story for you, then I don't know what is. I decided I'd like to get a penguin tattoo in memory of Kenny. I wanted the exact tattoo or close to, so I wrote home asking for photos of these in order to draw it. That's when I discovered my whole life was a lie, that Kenny did not have a penguin tattoo on his hand like I remembered. He had, in fact, a bear tattoo. And not just any bear, but the Ham's Bear from Ham's Beer. Okay, in all fairness, this was over 30 years ago, and I only had minutes with the man, and the ink back then was not a good quality. So this tattoo was mistaken as a penguin. You can see it. Yeah. Now you know how I feel. Now I have to get this Ham's Bear tattooed in memory of Kenneth Schleicher, and I still want to get a penguin tattooed for the moments he shared and what that meant to a boy just wanting a father, something I never got to tell him. Thank you.
That story about tattoos came from Daniel Schleicher while he was incarcerated in Oregon, Wisconsin. His story is featured in the newest season of the human-powered podcast, Humanity Unlocked, which is focusing on people impacted by the justice system in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Hey, don't forget, tomorrow we've got a special edition of the podcast for you. We'll be playing our special, How We Got Here, Abortion in Wisconsin Since 1849, exploring Wisconsin's abortion ban, how it came to be, and how people in the state have lived with and without it since. Again, you can catch it right here on Wisconsin Today, tomorrow, right in the podcast feed. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again tomorrow for that special edition, and again on Monday.